Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Or good afternoon now, really. It's noontime and it's a minute afterwards, so it's good afternoon. This is the word and prayer through the eyes of a layperson. And no, I'm not Elder Mary. I am Apostle W.J. Armstrong, her brother-in-law. And she called this morning earlier and asked if I would do her program for her today. Of course, I said yes, because that's how we support each other. And today, we're going to talk about the Word, W-O-R-D, the Word. And we have a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at Proverbs. We're going to look at Genesis. And we're going to look at John. And we're going to look at the Creator, and we're going to look at the Son, and of course, at the written word. It's how we're going to be able to discern who's speaking. So, let us pray. Almighty Creator, we thank you and we praise you for this day and for this time. And for those who are calling in, those who will be on the line at the end, we ask that your Holy Spirit quicken them to help them to understand what they believe, why they believe it, and if it's line up with the Word of God, with your Word, or if it lines up with man's interpretation of what your Word said. We just thank you and praise you. In the name of your beloved Son, amen. So this morning, I keep saying morning, it's afternoon now. The first scripture that I want to put out there for you to think about, it says, Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Well, take a moment. The tongue. We're not talking about actual tongue, because the tongue it's in itself does not. It's just of your body, one of the members of your body. But what we're talking about here is what comes about. It takes the tongue to form the word. So that word that comes about as a result of the tongue has power. So again, the word, not the tongue, it's the words that the tongue produce is where the power is. And how do we know that? It says, the word itself now says, and the word, it came from the Creator. We're going to get back to that one in a minute. Power of life. Words we speak. Just says, and we're going to get to Jesus and the words he spoke, life. And then his words also, he spoke death whenever he made it clear that he destroyed the works of the devil, destroyed death to those words, works. So now let's move down to Genesis. Okay. We're going to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Now, in the beginning. So Genesis chapter 1 said there was a beginning. In other words, there was nothing before the beginning, if we take that word. In the beginning, there was nothing before that. And then who, what did it say? In the beginning, who was there? God. God was there. And then what did it say? It said God did what? God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that is what we're going to look at and see, how did God create the heavens and earth? Did he have hands? Did he go out and take some clay like the one that, I can't remember now the name of it, that they used to say, God's trombone, I think that's what it was. And they talked about creation in there and how God took his hands and shaped this and shaped the other. But, so now we're looking at the word, and see what does the word say about how he created. He says, now the earth was formless and empty. It's like walking into a, at night walking into a dark room, no light at all in there. And what do you see? You see nothing. Nothing. So just sort of picture that as we go on. It says, now the earth was formless and void. You don't see any form, and you walk in there, you may walk into something, but you don't see it. You don't experience it. And then he goes on to say, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the spirit. Okay, now this is where we get an idea of who, what God is. God is a spirit. God's spirit was hovering over the waters. And God said, ooh, God did what? And God said, he spoke. He used what? Words. He said, let there be light. It was words. Words that God spoke. And we go right back up to Proverbs. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. But now we say God is a spirit. So, but God, he said, let there be. And the scripture says in verse 3, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and God said. It specified what he did. And it says who did what. It was God that said, let there be light. And there was light. And it goes on, verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God doing this with his word, with the word. And God then names it. He said, he called, God called. All of this is saying what God did. Not any other being, God, God's self. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, I know this might be contrary to what some of us have heard in the past, and same thing that I've heard, that, oh, well, we'll get to that when we get over to John 17. And then I'm just reading down a few more verses so we're clear. Verse 6, and God said, God spoke the word. We're talking about the power in words. He said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And so God made the vault. He made this. He said, that's how he made it. Words. So God made the vault and separated the waters under the vat from the waters above it. And it was so. And then 8, God called what? It's how he created the sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Again, the power of words that comes from people's mouth. So we are speaking words. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathering waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, and et cetera, et cetera. But the point I'm trying to get across to us today, that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us, because this is what the Holy Spirit has given me to give y'all today. Whenever I hadn't really had anything for discussion, whenever the Samaria called me. And then we go to John 17. Now we're going to see where Jesus come in at. All we've been talking about thus far is God in Genesis. God, what God did, what God said, and what came about as a result of what God did. So, I know people say, well, that was the Old Testament. And then a lot of interpretation now. And this is, I'm not being, how can I say this? Well, I'm just giving you what was given me in the spirit realm and where I have moved to, because I heard the same thing that people have heard, that Jesus was the one that created. No, that's not what the word says. And that's what I was led to, and to the word. That was probably last year what really, I also was going to question it, John 1:1. But here, now, what does this say? John 17, it says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. This is Jesus' prayer to be glorified, okay? He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority, people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. He made it clear as to what, when, where, and how, and what was his source. His source was the Father, not himself. The Father gave him. What does it say now? He said, Jesus made it clear. Verse 2, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. This is a conversation that Jesus is having with the Father. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He sent him. And what the Spirit is showing me is that God sent Jesus through the birth of a woman. And whenever Jesus was in the wilderness, and went out there, and at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God descended into him. And whenever Jesus was young, Jesus spent time in the synagogue reading and teaching. He had to prepare himself for this. I know. I just want people to think about it and read it for themselves and ask God to reveal his truth to them the same way that I had to do. And my prayer was, this was back in Maryland, this might have been in the 1998, somewhere around there. My prayer was, I asked God to reveal his truth to me and give me the courage to accept it. Because I used to, well, that's not what my grandmama said, or so-and-so said this, or the preacher said that. And now that I have the ability to read the word for myself, and that's what I challenge in people, take your Bible to church with you. Take it, and even now, read it for yourself and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about what the messenger is saying this morning. Because don't take my word, because salvation comes from the word itself. I'm just here to, I like to see myself as one that challenges people, challenge you, not negative, challenge you to make sure that you know why you believe what you believe, and that you understand what the source is of what you believe. And then he goes on to say, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Think about that now. God gave the Son work to do. And that sort of contradicts some of the things that we've heard come from the mouth of people. It says, by finishing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me. Who? He goes back to the Father now, which says, oh, yeah, him and the Father is one. That's just like my Son and I are one. But my Son is not equal or greater than me. And it goes on, says, now, Father, that's the way the Holy Spirit has led me to understand this part of the word. And he says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. All right. Think about that. This is part of what came out of church history, where those who was making, interpreting it, this is where they, some of their thinking went in, and this is some of the reason that they say, well, it was Jesus that did all this, because Jesus was with God before. Yes, he was. Jesus was a spirit, just like we are spirit. Just like God is spirit. But he came flesh whenever he was placed in a human body. So, and we can go on. I'll just read another down to verse 12, 13. It says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. We're in the world. I won't read the part where he prayed for us. It's basically the same. And he says that, I have revealed you. It wasn't himself. He was talking about the Father, that he revealed the Father to the disciples, to those 12 men. And he goes on saying, to those whom you gave me out of the world. So God pulled, just like God pulled us out, he pulled those 12 men out that Jesus were ministering to. He said, now they know that everything you have given me come from you. The word came from the Father through the Son, not from the Son about the Father, but from the Father about the Son, that he gave, the Son gave to the disciples. And it goes on, it says, But I gave them the words, the word now. You gave me. The Father gave Jesus the words that he gave the disciples, the 12 men. You're not calling them disciples yet. That's how we humans wind up adding stuff to the word. He didn't say that yet, okay? And what he said, and they accepted them. In other words, those persons that the Father called out from amongst the world accepted him, Jesus, as his son, as the one that came from him. And the word that Jesus gave them, they knew that it came from the Father. It says, they knew with certainty that I came from you. Came from you. Who's the you? The you is the Father. And it goes on. And they believe that you sent me, that the Father sent him. And that's one of the things that I came into an understanding when I was elevated as an apostle. And I was asking God, what am I supposed to be doing as an apostle? And, you know, we studied and we did the scripture. And I know apostles send people. The Father sent people. And the word that the Father gave the people, gave Jesus, was the truth. So my task as an apostle, when I send people, the word that they get is the word that the Father gave me, and that word is the truth. So that's why I will be held accountable, just as his son was held accountable for the words that he gave us. And it goes on. And they believe that you sent me. He says, now here, Jesus now is saying, verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. And here again, helping us to understand, we must pray for those pray for our spiritual leaders, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. He made it clear that those men, those 12 men, they were not their own. They were not his. They was the Father's, because the Father called them out of the world, and the Father gave them to him, to Jesus, and they accepted Jesus. It's just like when we go to school. We have to accept the teachers being the teacher in order for us to learn. And that the teacher got the words from somebody, which is supposed to be the truth. All right. It says, all I have is yours. Okay, now he made it clear. What he has is the Father's. Now, let's go on. And all you have is mine. He make it clear here. He made a distinction. If it was all his, he never would have made a distinction. He said that his came first from the Father. And now it's his. Because what he has accepted, what the Father has as being his, the word, again. And glory has come to me through them. We are important to Jesus. We are important, y'all. We who are preaching the word, teaching the word, what does this say? That's what they were doing. And it says, and glory has come to me through them. And then, that's very important. Well, we remember that. At least I have. That I have an important role to play in the life of Jesus. Because what I do glorifies him. If I'm not doing the right thing, he's not getting the glory. And it says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you. Coming to who? The Holy Father. He's coming to the Father. Power of your name. Word again, name. That's where we get the power whenever we use Jesus' name. And here, what did Jesus say? He made it clear. He understood the power of your name. He's talking about the Father. And then he goes on, the name you gave me. Now here's his name, his name. The Father gave him the name. We must believe not in that individual, not in the man Jesus, but we have to believe in what? The Word, the one who sent him. All of that process, we believe that the Word that he's given us, that authority has come from the Creator, from the Father. And that's power. Power. That's why we can do things that other people can't do. That's why we can use the name Jesus and the demons will flee from us. And then it goes on. So that they may be, okay, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. What is that saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about that? Him and the Father one. So we must be one with him and the Father once we accept him. And once we accept the Word, because the Word is him. When we think about this, we are powerful beings. We have authority. The authority that came straight from the Father through the Son. And it says, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. There's power in the name, which says, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture will be fulfilled. The thing about that word, y'all, again, if we go right back to Proverbs, what does Proverbs say? What do the Word say? Not what I say. The Word, Proverbs 18:21, it says the tongue has the power of life and death. And we're not talking about that tongue, that physical tongue. We're talking about the words that come from and the words that's spoken. And as the words are spoken, who hears them? I have a program on Sunday that says words have power. It's not what you say. It's what people hear and feel. So if I speak negative to this person and they feel that negative that I'm speaking, they're going to respond negative to me. Or they're going to be fearful of me. And they're going to want to take me out. Depends on the type of negative words that I speak. Oh, I can speak positive. Oh, you look so good today. Oh, that the way your hairstyle is look good. Oh, you and the nature, you, the flowers, that flower that you have on today, it accents your beauty. You look like a millionaire. We speak in life into that. Oh, you can take it back to today, I thank you for what you've said. I thank you for what you've done for me. I give God thanks and praise for you and your family, for the way that he put you in my life space, and it's touched me. And whenever that's positive, that tells that person that they, what they have done, that the Father is well pleased with what they've done. And Jesus is glorified because I responded positive. I responded in a way that they might not even been expecting. I just want us to all just think about the words, think about what we say, think about what we speak into the lives of those that are around us. If we tell somebody, keep saying something negative about them, eventually they're going to believe it. And once they believe it, that becomes who they are. And we have to accept the responsibility for it. Again, go back to Proverbs. What did it say? That second part of Proverbs, it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, this is my understanding of that, is that eat its fruit. It's coming back to us. Whether this is a fruit going to be bitter, going to be sweet. I remember old people, our ancestors used to say, that was a bittersweet pill. Bittersweet pill. And, yeah, I hadn't really thought about it just now. A bittersweet pill. It says to me, in my spirit, that it was bittersweet, but it works. And then if I go, oh, I can count it all joy. Just go back to a scripture. Now, I learned scripture not by chapter and verse. I learned scripture as it relates and it's stored in my heart. And I can quote what it says. And that's, to me, and why I did it that way. It was more important to me to do it that way than to talk about chapter and verse, where the scripture says that I can count all joy as I go through trials and tribulation. To me, that's what bittersweet means. And I come out on the other side rejoicing. Because I know that God, the Creator, was with me as I went through those trials and tribulations. It was just awesome whenever you sit with the Word and allow the Word to come alive in you, how you begin to look at things differently. And that's what I mean. We begin to see things through the spiritual lens than through the five senses. And that's when the Word become alive in us. I'm going to open the mic in a hot second here. And when I open the mic, comments, suggestions, and I don't expect you to agree wholeheartedly with me. I don't, because we're all at different places at different times. And that's like, I had a professor, he would say, the God of your understanding. And we just laughed at the man. We just called the man that the man was a heretic and all of that. But he wasn't. He was clear. And as I grew, I come to understand what that word means. What his saying meant to me. And all he wasn't saying that we were into idolatry. He was just saying that the God that you understand because your experience and your circumstances, your relationship with God is different from his relationship. And that we have to value that in each one of us. And in so doing, we again then understand why we are called, that we are brothers and sisters in the faith. I just opened the mic. And in a comment, in a question,
well, my name is Sandra Connor, and I know Sister Armstrong, and so I just want to thank you for the you starting out with the scripture concerning the tongue, because I think this makes the third time I've heard that today. So I'm just believing that's a word that God wants me to meditate on, to keep in my spirit, to make sure I stay in the straight and narrow, not only walking with him, but how I think and how my heart is with other people. You know, even though we have, you know, like you say, differences, we have, you see, we are different, and then, you know, we have different opinions of things. So it keeps, in order to keep my heart straight with the Lord, right with the Lord, that scripture will, as I meditate on it, that scripture will keep me in line. And I thank you for that.
Well, I thank you, sister, because like I said, I didn't really know what I was going to talk about, what the Holy Spirit was going to give me this morning. And whenever my sister-in-law, Elder Mary, texted me and said that, asked me if I do her program today. And so I moped around, and I had some other chores I did, and it came to me, the word. And I didn't really know what scripture, and then he gave me, first I got Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and forward. And then secondly, I knew, because I meditate and reflect on the book of John anyway, I knew that. But then he went to Proverbs. And it put that in my spirit, and that just summed it all up, that the power of the word is in the tongue. And see, whenever we hear that, a lot of us heard that, and we just said the tongue. We don't think about the words that comes as a result. See, the tongue forms the words. The words that come out can kill people, or they can heal people, and bless people. And whenever that, I just start smiling, and I said, okay. And I still didn't know how I was going to deliver it until it started. And what you just said was a confirmation to me that that was the way that the Spirit, that the Creator wanted to put it out there. God, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Bless you, sir.
Well, that works both ways now. We are blessed to be a blessing. So the word blessed me this morning, again, because it affirmed that I'm on the right track and that some of the stuff that I learned, I need to unlearn it, because whenever you sit with the word and read the word and see what the word says, then you can begin to see what man has read and what man came away with and what man gave us. And a lot of us, I just ask y'all, pray for us who are pastors and who are bishops and apostles and prophets and evangelists. Pray for us that we read the word for ourselves. Because a lot of a lot of us, yes, a lot of us will get a book and preach from a book or sermons that was already, but that's not what we were called to do. The Holy Spirit,
amen.
Yes, God can take that, because one of my sermons in the early mid-90s was that God's ultimate will shall prevail, that even if one take a sermon out of a book and try and preach it, God still can use that, but that's, you are not doing it according to God's will.
Amen. I agree with that.
Just pray for us and bring your Bible every time and follow on reading it. And even if you use a smartphone, you texting and all that, you can download the Bible on that phone. There's no excuse anymore. And see, I'm not one that says, no, you can't have that, you got to have the book itself. No. These young people today, a lot of them don't know what a Bible looked like, but they know what their smartphone looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go in there and download this and download that. Well, they can do Google search and get that scripture and read right along with you.
Yes.
Well, I know I hear Sister Mary over there.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank
Amen.
You for taking over for me. Because
wait a minute, I ain't take over now.
Well, you doing the podcast. I thank you for that. That death and life is in the power of the tongue. And we have to learn to speak over ourselves and be positive. We are not to be negative people.
That's
supposed
right.
to be positive people and speak the word. That's why we have to know the word. What does God say in the Bible? Not what man say. What does God say out of the word of God? And
yes.
we have to take at face value what the word of God say. Because that's what don't stand. That's what we can stand on, is what does the word of God say? And that's what we have to go by and have faith in the word of God. You know, even though it may look like something else, what does the word of God say? Just like all this that are happening in the world today, the word of God told us these times was going to come.
That's
and we
right.
don't have to worry, because the word of God speaks of these times, and we know that we live in according to his word. We don't have to worry about it. We can continue to pray for our loved ones, but we have to make sure that we are ready to meet
That's
our
right.
Savior. We have to save, you know, we have to make sure we're ready. We want our loved ones saved, but we have to make sure that we are ready ourselves. Because we can't save them. We can encourage them and tell them what thus saith the Lord, but we have to make sure we're ready to meet our Lord and Savior for ourselves. But death and life is in the power of the tongue. We have to be careful what we say. You know, we can curse ourselves and bless ourselves, but we have to be careful what comes out of our mouth, you know.
Yes.
And I think that, and we can speak blessings. We can speak blessings over ourselves. We're not to be negative people. We're not to be negative people. We are positive people. Praise God. And I thank God for that, because, you know, a lot of times when we don't get an answer, when we think we should get an answer, we waver a little bit. But we have to learn to take God at his word and wait on the Lord. You know, just like when Martha and Mary, they sent for Jesus. Your friend is sick. Jesus didn't just take off and go right then. He waited.
That's right.
He knew what he was going to do. And he told his disciples, Lazarus is sleeping. They said, well, if he's sleeping, he doeth well. And he told them, Lazarus is dead. I must go. And when he got there, he'd been dead 4 days. But he knew what he was going to do. And what
did Mary say
when she got there? She said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But he said, your brother don't rise again. She said, I know it at the end of time, in the last days. He told, I'm the resurrection and life.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. Mary came, she fell down, and she said the same thing. Jesus wept. But then he said, where have you laid him? He knew what he was going to do. We have to,
mm-hmm.
If we live in according to God's word, he hears
us. Yeah, the word.
According to his word. Now, we
mm-hmm.
know where we stand, God. We know if he hears us or not, if we're living according to his word. He hears us when we pray. We have the petition that we ask of him. But sometimes we're going to have to wait. And that don't mean it's a no when we have to wait. We just have to wait on the Lord because he don't work in a time 24 hour like we live in. He don't work in that. We have to have faith and wait on the Lord. And when he get ready, he's going to answer our prayer. Just like I've been dealing with this with my neck for months now. But I went yesterday, and they put the shot in the upper part of my back. But I know it's going to take God, even though they said it's God that does the healing. And I know he is a healer because he's healed me many times before. But I have to wait on the Lord. The Word of God says, have faith in God. I have to have faith and believe God's going to do it. You know, when we speak positive things, we're supposed to be positive people. We speak positive things. We can speak curses or blessings. Thank God that I know who Jesus is because he is a healer. Praise the Lord. Because he has been there for me many a time. And I thank God for this podcast. I thank God because when you first mentioned that to me, I didn't want to do it, but you kept on after me, and I thank God that I finally did yield, and it's been a blessing to me also, and even meeting some of the ones that got their own podcast, I thank God for that. Pastor Miller, praise God, it's been so good meeting her and other ones as well. So I just ask that you remember me in your prayers and Deacon Armstrong, and we just keep just doing what thus saith the Lord. And I thank God for the podcast because he gave you a vision, Pastor. He gave you a vision. And he opened the door and you walked through it. And it hasn't been easy. It has not been easy, but still going forward with it. And I thank God for that. So I just solicit your prayers that you remember me and my household in your prayers. And since I'm talking there, I've got a request. We went Sunday to visit my nephew in, where is it? I can't remember the name right now. It's done left my mind. But it's in the mountains, Spruce Pines. He committed murder, and it locked up for 28 years. Mm-hmm. And he's in Spruce Pines, and he's supposed to be coming up for review. He's gave his life to the Lord, and he's been locked up for 28 years, I think. And he's repented and gave his life to the Lord, and he's went before him before, and they've rejected it. But he's supposed to be going with them again, and if it's God's will, they will. You know, let him out. But Wes called yesterday, but we couldn't get any information when he'll be bringing him back to Lenore. But we want to go where we can support him and be there when they bring him. So his name's James Corpany. So we want y'all to put him on your prayer list and pray he'll be done. Not our will, but that God's will be done. So God knows the whole story. He knows the whole story. And it was little White, his wife, he was White. And they keep holding and holding him. But we know if it's God's will, he'll open the door. But we want God's will be done. You know, wherever God's will is, that's what's best, God's will. So his name's James Armstrong, James Corpany. So we ask that you lift him up before God and that God will let us find out the date that he is to come back to Lenore to stand before the judge. And that we can be there to support him in everything. So just remember him in your prayers. Yes.
And I thank you. My prayer, go ahead.
I thank you again for just, you know, standing in my spot.
Okay, my prayer request is that we, the Global Coalition Training Institute youth component, will receive all the necessary resources to carry out the vision that God has given us to have a place for young people to go 24/7 and in that time that they're there, that we are able to instill values in them, discipline, and that those values that will be glorifying the Creator.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Almighty everlasting God, the Father, the Creator of the heavens and earth, the one that sent the Son, sent Jesus to this earth through the birth of a woman to let us know that we, like him, can do even greater things than him, just as he said, and that we must believe, just like the 12 men that begged him. You called us out as well. And in calling us out, we accepted the word that you gave your son, that he gave them, that they in turn gave us. And he gave us their authority, their power in that word. And as we read the word, we see in the scripture, in the book of Luke, that we have authority over demons, scorpions, and serpents. Therefore, and then we go back to the book of John, we see in that where Jesus said that he destroyed the works of the devil and he gave us, came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we thank you. And we thank you for the knowledge and understanding of Proverbs where you made it clear that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. That we don't need a gun. We don't need any poison, anything to destroy anybody. What we speak is just as effective and just as powerful. And we ask you this day to forgive us for that those negative words and thoughts we have put out there and said to people. But at that time, we knew not what we were doing. We have come to regret some of them. And we just thank you for the knowledge and confess and repent. And we thank you and praise you. And if we continue to do ministry according to your vision, you never give us anything without giving us the means. And sometimes we sort of get a little disgusted and doubt. That's the work of the devil. But yes, when your word comes to us, because you have given your word in our heart, when your word comes to us, we repel those evil spirits that he has released.
Jesus.
And Almighty God, we know that you are in the institution, Brother James Cole. We know you there. We just know that he realized that you are there. That he realized that you are the one that kept him. You are the one. You are the one. And not those God, you, not his fellow inmates, you.
Yes,
and that the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the one, his family, those, that's the reason that you care for him. Just as I stand here now, and you thank for my ancestors, because if they had prayed for me, I would have been dead. That was instances that I had to deal with that would have been detrimental to my body. And I just thank you. And now we get ready to go from this place. We don't leave you here. We go, hallelujah, and thank and glorify you by the words that we speak. And our behavior, our direction. Take your word into the world, knowing that it will draw people unto you. And we, too, then will be able to live a quiet, peaceful, godly life. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Next week, Sister Mary is going to be here.
Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Shalom, everyone.
Y'all have a good rest of the day and rest of the week.
Yes, yes.
Shalom.
Shalom.